We are on Bava Metzia Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph 49a. Rev Kahana Yavule Zuzei Kitana. Rev Kahana once sold flax, and from the customers, he got some of the.
No, it said some people gave money as a down payment.
Right, as we've been talking about, Yavule Zuzei means not all of it, but some money for the flax. And the Sophia Kitana, and then the flax became more expensive. Asla kami de Rav, he came to Rav, Amarlei, b'maitin nikitas zuze, havlehu. All the flax that they already gave for a down payment, or all the flax that would be covered by the down payment that they gave, so you give to them. V'idach, and the rest of the flax, devarim ninhu. That's all just a verbal commitment. Devarim ein behem mishu michusari amana. And Mechusre Amana, is that referring to him? Is he not like of little faith or something? I know it means basically he's allowed to charge the higher amount.
It just says, Mechusre Amana. Abide by one's words doesn't constitute a lack of trustworthiness.
Right. Mechusre Amana, like he's not considered of like little faith or trust, I guess is a better word for this context.
It's different from what we had the case where we say that if you don't follow through on your agreement, you're subject to the Mishapara.
The Mishapara, right. So that's what we've been talking about. The Mishapara is when they already paid. Here they didn't pay for the rest of it yet. Right? Mishapara is not just keep your word, it's we already started this and you haven't done your side of the deal. If neither side does it, they're part of the deal, so that's different. Deitzmar, Devarim, Rav Amar, Ein Behem, Mishum Chisra Amana. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yesh Behem, Mishum Mechusra Amana. The Rabbi Yochanan would say that you have lost a little bit of your trustworthiness if you verbally agreed to something and then didn't follow through. Meisid Erbi Yosef, Erbi Yehuda, Omer, Matz, Amal Omar, Vehin Sedek, Pasukin, Achremos, maybe. Vehalo, Hin, Bichlal Eifa Haya. Alalomar Lacha, Shehei Hain Shelcha Tzedek, Velav Shelcha Tzedek. I guess Hain, they're saying here is an Aramaic Hain of yes.
Yes.
If you agree to do something, so then you should continue. Or if you said yes or no, you have to follow your word. So that sounds like the Pasuk is teaching us that Devarim Yeshben Mishum Michusre Amana. So Amar Rabaye Hahu Shlo Yidaber Echad BePev Echad BeLev. That means to not be, you know, a liar, to not say something outwardly that you don't mean inwardly. But he never did that. In this case,
here at the time he made,
he was willing to sell for that amount at that time. And now he's no longer willing.
The resolution in the rule is this only works for incremental goods. It doesn't work for sell me your car. Here's a down payment. Here's a deposit.
Correct. Okay, you can't give part of a car.
Quarter of the car.
Correct. Later. Right now, you can't. We haven't seen what to do in those situations yet. Even though talis konan dinar zav means if you gave the talis, now the dinar is obligated to be given. The ain dinar zav konan talis. But if you gave the money, that doesn't necessarily mean he has to give over the talis. That would be a mishabar case. Mikomakom kach halacha. Nonetheless, that is the halacha that a beis din is not able to force the person to sell the actual talis just because he gave money. Someone doesn't follow their word. Again, that's a little different kind of case. But here we're saying, is this not also a form of mechusrei amana? This is different because he's given the whole money for it. It's not a partial. But nonetheless, it's still something which I guess there was a verbal agreement to. This is a kash on Rav. It's actually the other way. That the Brisus implies that the only time there's any problem is when he gave the money. The implication being that if he didn't give the money, it would not be a problem if they just verbally agreed. Says Gemara Tanahi, it's machlokas Tanai, and that you can't necessarily bring a proof from a brisa against Rav. Why is it? How do we know it's a machlokas tanaim? Because we'll have a mishnah on pei gimel. It's not maaser Rabbi Yochanan maaser shamar livno seus chor lanu poalim. Go and hire some workers. Halach, he went upasak lemizonos, and he told them he was going to give them sustenance, but he didn't say how much. Even if you had given them the biggest feast, like a Shlomo Melch feast, you would not be able to, you know, you would not be able to fulfill what you told them. Shehein b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. These people are Jews, and therefore they are befitting much bigger feasts even than Shlomo Melch. I don't know why that is. I think maybe we learn from Avram Avinu. Before they do anything, so go and clarify to them that what I meant was bread and kitnis. What's kitnis?
Beans.
Yeah, okay. Interesting, very apropos. And if you're going to tell me that devarim is a real thing, that you have to abide by the fact that you made a verbal commitment, how could he say to go back on his word? So Gemara says, no, Shani Hasam, Zepolim Gufayu Lo Samcha Datayu, that the workers themselves don't really fully trust, or I guess that's the only way I can say it.
Didn't rely on
the kids' words. My time, Amediyadi Dabal Avua Samach, they know that they're really working for the father. And therefore, the kid says something, they don't take it face value. If that's the case, even if they had started the malacha, so that all should be fine. You know, if they're really not trusting the kids, so why did he say before they start, you have to clarify? Says Gemara, no, once they started their work, so like, okay, if they started their work, they're clearly
I'm not sure what it
in
is.
Not in any more need of
I'm
more
not
information.
Sure what the alternative to the beans and bread is a gigantic feast. What's the limit to the feast? I mean, I'm not sure
it could be anything.
What he's counting. I'm not sure what he's.
It could be anything less than Shlomo Melech's feast.
But what is Shlomo Melech's feast? We don't know. That's
we don't know. But I'm just saying that obviously it's some big fancy feast, and here we're only giving them bread and beans, so that's very minimal.
We know Shlomo Melech made a party for 14 days, right?
Yeah, for the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah,
is that what we're talking about?
It could be. We don't know. But it's a big meal.
The menu, as I recall, right. It gives part of the menu.
So either way,
well, I don't
so
know if it gives a menu, but I mean, a 14-day feast is more than a big meal.
More than bread and beans. Yeah. So Amru Meimar Amar Kame Davu Avinichale, because right, if they started their work, so then they believe, okay. You know, if we haven't heard any further clarifications from the father, it must be the father agreed, and I guess like shtika koda type of thing. Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan Achi, is really true that Rabbi Yochanan believes that words are enough to sort of bind you into this. Is this Rabbi Yochanan? No. Maisa Rabbi Yochanan Masya. Is that the Rabbi Yochanan we're talking about? It must be a different Rabbi Yochanan. Hold on. The first
Rabbi Yochanan.
Rabbi Yochanan.
I mean, the Rabbi Yochanan that we had before.
Rabbi Yochanan is the one in Yeshbe Mishum Michus Re'amana. Rav said, Ein Behen Mishum Michus Re'amana. Okay. So then why was that other one?
My impression is that this Rav of Yochanan and the other Yochanan both agree with each other. One Yochanan is bringing
it happens to be
support.
Rabbi Yochanan Masya, the one that story is about, is also worried about the trustworthy issues. Yeah. So Rabbi Yochanan is really true. Rabbi Yochanan says that you can't go back on your word that doesn't have any money attached to it already. Even word that doesn't have money attached to it. If a person says to his friend, I'm going to give you a gift, and he says, actually, I changed my mind, so then how could he do that? So Yachol, can he do that? Yeah, of course he can do that, Pshita. Because there wasn't any kinyan. Elam mutter lachzerbo. Rabbi Yochanan must be saying that it's completely mutter, meaning it's not just that he's halachically allowed, but that it's completely mutter. Amar Papa, Rabbi Yochanan, I guess he has a clarification on what he said. He said, yeah, if you agree to give a real bona fide gift, so then he can go back on it with no problem. But if he's giving something smaller where people actually rely on him, that he's going to give him that, you know, I'll, you know, give you a, you know, a free meal or something. So then people do trust him. And if he doesn't give it, then it would be a mechusar amana. We haven't really defined what mechusar amana really means practically, but it's a bad thing. Right, we didn't give any quantified value here. Hachanayim Mestar, Dam Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Yisrael Shamar Leben Levi, Kor Maser Yesh Lecha Biyadi, Ben Levi, Rashay Lasos, Trumas Maser, Amak Macher. The, I don't know where, is this a brace or something? Rabbi Abba says from Rabbi Yochanan that a Yisrael that says to a Levi that he has a specific amount of meiser rishon, which is an amount of a kor, yesh lecha biyadi, I have for you that you can have. So then the ben Levi is allowed to sort of apportion trumas maser that the Levi gives to the kohen from his own fruit for the sake of that core that he's expected to get, or that he already has, I guess, assumed.
Well, that he was told he ownership was of. Get, but he hasn't taken possession of.
Hasn't he? So, I amart mishlama lomatzim amar lemeder bay. If you're going to say that he can't go back on his word, so then mishum hachi rashai. That's why he's allowed to. Ela I amart matzim lemeder bay. But if you're going to say that the person could still go back on it. Even if, I guess this is a matana muetes, I don't know. Amai Rashai, why would he be allowed to ishtakach? Why would he be allowed to ishtakach to ka'achil tevelim? Maybe the Levi is going to ultimately be eating tevel since he's not properly taking trumas meiser. So how am I?
I don't understand though. If the Yisrael goes back on it, then he's not getting this kor. So how is he eating tevel? Yeah, he didn't properly tithe.
He's redeeming that stuff and that he hasn't gotten yet with other stuff in his own possession that he already has, I think.
I don't know. Maybe this is not the only...
No, no, that couldn't be.
Maybe this is not the only Trumas Master he's taking. Yeah, maybe it's like a package deal.
He's declaring this... This the Trumat Maser.
I know, but I'm saying
he's declaring this kor as Trumas Maser for stuff that he has that now okay. He's going to eat what he has at
right,
home.
Okay,
now.
So the kor Maser he's taking as itself for Trumas Maser. Okay.
For Tevel that he has.
Alma Kamacher is referring to the fact that he has that.
So now he's going to eat the stuff at home and he can't, yeah. He hasn't taken.
So how can.
Because he can't take Truma.
Potentially. If Matz the Madre Bay.
Right.
So Gemara says, Hachma Askina, Kigonshin Talu Manu Vachazvi of Kido Aslo. That the Levi took it and completely took ownership over it. And then the Levi was redeposited by the Yisrael. And I guess in that situation, the Yisrael can't go back on it. Okay, so then what's the whole point of... So, Yihachi Emesefa. So if that was the case, so what about the end of the Brisa that says, Nisanu Leven Levi Acher Ein Lo Alav El Taromes. If the Yisrael gave it to a different Levi, the first Levi can't complain. Well, he can complain, but that's all he can do. Why would he only have a complaint? Kevin de Mashchei, since he actually took physical hold of it, Umamana is legabe, and it was his property, I guess. He has a property rights, property complaint, not just a verbal complaint. Allah Shmamina, Bidlonatalo, Shmamina. Must be that he never actually took hold of it and go back to our original understanding that maybe it is a formidable proof that for Rabbi Yochanan that there's mechus ramana if you don't follow your word, even if you didn't do any physical actions. Okay, good proof. Shema Amina. We can't necessarily paskin like Rabbi Yochanan over Rav because we had that Mishnah in between that we claimed, although we never explained it well, we claimed that it was Machlokas Tanaim. But in this case, it's a solid proof for Rabbi Yochanan that that is a legitimate opinion. A person gave, I assume, a down payment for sesame seeds.
Poppy seeds.
Poppy seeds. Then they got more expensive. Hadru behu. V'amrulei, and he says to the customer, "Leis lan shum shemei. I don't want to give you any more poppy seeds. Shkol zuzach, take your money back. Oh boy. Lo shakel zuze, but he didn't take his money back. In the end, ignov. The guy.
Was then stolen.
I mean, he just didn't give it back. Oh, you mean it was stolen from the seller?
From the sellers, yeah.
Okay, just coincidentally, I guess. Asul kami de Rava, they came in front of Rava. So Amar le, kevin to Amri lach, shkol zuzach lo shaklis, lomi baya shomer sachar de lohave. Ela, filo shomer chinam nami lohave. He is not responsible to watch over your money, and therefore, you know, you're out that money. So why? Yeah, Amrle Rabbanu Lareva.
He tried to return it to
you. Right, you gave him a chance. He gave you a chance, and you blew the opportunity to take your money back. That's your fault. Amrle Rabbanu Lareva, however, v'habayla kabuli alei mishapara.
It's not clear that this is a deposit. I mean, this sounds like
it says Yav Zuzei Hashim Shem. Oh, you're okay. He gave him money for the seeds.
Right,
yeah, okay.
Isn't necessarily a deposit.
At least a deposit. It's just using the same phrasing as we used before. But you're right. It could be the full payment. So Amrlehu Hachanami. Yeah, he did. That is a real mishapara situation. He gave the money, never gave the merchandise. This seller is under this curse. And he really should give the seeds. Amar Rav Papi, Amar Li Ravina, Li Didi Amar Li Ha'u Merabanan. Rav Tuvya Shmei, Rav Tvus Shmei. V'Amar La Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra Shmei. Either Rav Tvus or Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra said, Di Havu Yavi Le Kol Chalal Ta Alma, that if they would have given all of the chalal ha'olam, what does that mean?
Underground treasures in the world.
Lo have kamishana b'diburei. He would not be able to.
He would not break his word.
Who wouldn't break his word?
This Rav
Tzvus. Rav Tzvus or Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra?
Right, whoever it was.
Okay. He just, I guess this was like a nice, you know, recalling of this person's character.
Like that guy. Like that poppy seed seller.
Right. Okay. B'didi hava uvda. B'didi hava uvda. With me, who's talking? Rav Papi is talking. B'didi hava uvda. Ahu yoma. Apanya demali Shabbos havya. It was Erev Shabbos. V'hava yisivna v'asa ugavrav kayabava. This guy came to my door. Amar li islach shum shemei uzabune. Do you have any poppy seed to sell me? So Amri le lo. I said no. Amar li levu hanach zuze bepikaron gabach taha chashchali. Can you just take our money and then we can get the poppy seeds later? Amar le habe sa kamach.
That's not the translation here.
What do you have?
Let me entrust the money to you as it's growing dark. In other words, I don't want to carry money around on
Okay, so I'm just depositing money for no purpose. Amri le, ha besa kamach. They said to Amri le, they said to him.
I said to him?
Amri le, ha besa kamach.
The house lies before you. You want to put your money in my house? Put your money in my house.
Right. You want to take the chance, I guess. You can do it. Osvinu bevesa v'ignav. They put it in the house, and then the money was stolen. Asl kami de Rav, they came to Rav. Amar le, kol ha besach kamach, lo mi paya shomer sachad lo havi, alafi shomer chinam nami lo havi. He said, look, you want to take your chance, put it in the house, that's fine. But he's not accepting responsibility.
Or did I agree to sell you poppy seed?
Right. Yeah. Amar le, I said to him, Rav Papi is now saying to Rava? Who's he talking? To Ravina. Who's Ravina?
No. To Rava, you're right.
To Rava. V'ha'amru le'rabbanu le'rava, yibai le'kabula le'min shapara. Didn't the Chachamim say Yishapara? V'amar li lo hayu hadvar me'olam. That never happened. I guess he's challenging the story of the poppy seeds.
My impression is if the story had been true, he would be subject to Mishapara. But this person is coming along and saying, hey, I'm the guy involved in this story, and none of that is true. We're just setting the record straight for this particular incident. None of that is true. I never agreed to sell him poppy seed. He wanted me to. I told him I didn't have it. He gave me the money just because Shabbos was coming. Somebody stole it.
Uh-huh. So basically that case never had a Mishapara question about it. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kol Shekasap Yado Yado Al Yonah. The Mishnah had said, according to the Tanakhama, that the seller and the buyer can go back on a deal before the Mashiach happened. But Rabbi Shimon said, no, the seller can go back on giving the merchant. The seller can go back on giving the merchandise. He's got the money. But the buyer can't go back because he doesn't have the money anymore. So what does this mean? And there was a Mishapara case.
In that case, he agrees with the general rule, and he's not saying anything different. The general rule is, if there's no Mashiach, then the seller can cancel.
Well, I guess Yadu al-Yonah, I guess, is more than just... more than just what the Tanakhama says. It must be also that there's no Mishapara, I guess.
Well, no, I thought the Tanakhama said either one of them can...
Yeah, no, either one can always go back, but there's still Mishapara, no?
But, and here...
Rabbi Shimon is saying only the seller can retract.
Yeah.
Right. The buyer can't do anything anymore. So Tanya, I'm Rabbi Shimon, Emasai, when is this halacha, you can go back on it, even when you haven't given money. Bisman shekesef peres biyad mocher, when the seller has it. Aval kesef biyad mocher peres biyad olkeach, if they've already given the goods, enu yachalach zorom neshe kaspo biyado, because he's got the money.
Well, that's obvious. The sale is done.
What kaspo biyado is referring to, the seller or the buyer?
The way it's interpreted.
Biyado, biyad mocherhu. Yeah, that's what the Gemara is saying. What do you mean, kaspo biyado, that the lokeach has the money? The lokeach doesn't have the money. The lokeach has the merchandise, the peros, the seller has the money. Ela mipnecha demei kaspo biyado. He's got the value of his money. So therefore, it says the Gemara pshita, that's obvious also. You can't go back, it's already done. You already did a mashicha. So amarev hachma eskin kunshay sa'aliel shal lokeach muskar spiyad mocher. He had sold the place, the upper floor. He was renting it, I guess.
The seller rented his loft.
Right. The seller had the buyer's loft. And therefore what?
And therefore it says if the goods are considered that they're in the buyer's possession, but he hasn't really done anything with them, I think. The buyer paid for the wheat, but did not physically take possession of it. Although the wheat is legally in the domain of the seller, because a rented domain is considered the domain of the tenant.
That's the kicker, okay.
It's physically in the attic to the buyer. In the attic of the buyer's house.
Right. It is his house. So it's biyad, kaspo biyado. He still technically has general ownership over that property, which has the peros. So Tam Amata Kinaron Mashiach, why is it that they made a Mashiach? Gazer Shem Yomar Lo Nisfil Chitach Ba'aliyah. Hachabir Shu Say, Lokech. Here in this case, it's in the Lokeach's property. And Inafla Dlek Ba'ones, Iyu Tarach Ma'isila.
If the whole reason Chachamim said that the sale's not finalized until the buyer takes possession is because we didn't want
the seller to not care about it
because it's no longer mine.
Right, but here,
since it's in his house, even though technically it's in the renter's property, but he's not going to allow his house to burn down.
I think this is actually saying, something like that. It's also he's right there, meaning he's renting out the loft, but he's living in the first floor, right? So he's there also. In that case, they didn't make the takana. Hogar v'davz is a chamra. Person gave some money for wine. L'sof shama the kabayil mitzbe debe parzel rufila. After a while, he heard Parzak was interested in taking the wine.
Parzak was some kind of a government official.
Right. Mishnah Lamelech Ahavir. It's like vice president came in and said, hey, can I have some wine? Armalei Havli Zuze Lo Bina Chamra. The buyer said, give me my money back.
Yeah, give me my money back, you know, and I don't want this wine because I know that the government's going
to usurp it anyway. Also, the comment of Chista, Amar Lei, Kederach Shetikna Mashiach V'mochrin Kachtik Mashiach L'Kochos. Interesting. Rav Chista claims that the Lokeach has the right to renege on it also. He never actually got the merchandise. Is there a Misha Par for the Lokeach too?
I'm guessing there's a Misha Parach for both sides. This obviously,
yeah, I don't know.
Disagrees with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said
only the mocher, yeah.
Only the mocher, since he has the money.
Right. Says the Mishnah, Ha'ona Arba Kasef. Oh, here we go. Ha'ona. How do they translate ona?
Fraud.
Okay. Ona is Arba Kasef. Four.
An overcharge
of four?
Four mi esrim v'arba. Four out of 24.
Arba kesef mi esrim v'arba kesef l'sela.
Which is 1/6.
Why does it say it that way? I don't know.
Going into it, there's an introduction to this whole volume that explains that prices were somehow fixed in ancient times. So they did not accept the idea that every buyer and every seller could agree on their own price. There was some sort of, especially market for food, there was some sort of communal price fixing. Who did it? I'd have to read more carefully.
Maybe that day,
otherwise,
it was
this makes
on the market.
No sense to me.
It makes sense. It would just be harder to figure it out.
Well, hard to figure out. What's the price?
Right. It's a going rate. Right. It's the
going rate.
And everybody knew the going rate.
Right. Every other store in town sells it for $1. I want to sell it for $2.
His suggestion is
right. But David is saying that every other store in town is very unlikely that every single store is going to sell for the same exact price, unless there is some kind of fixed market value. It makes sense.
It suggests that maybe the local Beit Din or some local officials or something set what they thought were those. This is hard to understand.
Right, correct. Ad masai mutar lahachzir. Until when can you give it back to the seller? Meaning, I guess if you don't give it back, it dissolves the sale in the first place. So when can you give it back and still maintain the sale? Ad kidei sheyare latagar o lekrovo, until he has the opportunity to show the merchandise that he bought to the seller?
To another merchant,
to resell it, or to a relative that's going to see it.
In other words, I bought this, and then I have time to go and show it to somebody, and they'll say, hey, you overpaid for that.
Right.
And now I can go back and...
Oh, meaning, yeah, this is talking about, can he undo the sale because he was ripped off? He was overcharged. He says it's 1/3. Shalish lemekach v'samchu tagari lud. And the people of Lud were happier about that because...
The sellers,
right? The sellers of Lud were happier about that because then they could
overcharge
a little less than one third, meaning one sixth is you can only overcharge a little bit. Amar lehem kol hayom mutzul achzor, and Rabbi Tarfon says to them, but it's a double edged sword because they could go back on the sale the whole day. So Amar lo, they said to Rabbi Tarfon, yaniach lan Rabbi Tarfon mim komenu v'chazru l'divrei chachamim. They wanted the 1/6 and the quicker finalizing of the sales. It's Merav Amar Shesus Mekach Shaninu. We have 1/6. Ushmul Amar Shus Maus Nami Shaninu. 1/6. What's the difference between those two?
A sixth of the true purchase price versus a sixth of the money actually paid. Which sixth is it?
Okay. Shave Shita Bechamsha. If you sold something which was worth 6, but only for 5 zuz,
or
shave shita b'shiva, or you sold for 7, kuli amalo pligi debasar mecha chachzinan v'ona havya. We always go based on the market price, or based on whatever was sold, whatever was given. And therefore, there would be ona there. Ki pligi wendez uge shave chamsha b'shita. If it's worth 5 and you paid 6, v'shave shiva b'shita, or 7 it's worth 6, right? One side is always, you know, overcharging or over under delivering. L'shmuel d'amar basar maus haslinan idi v'idi ona have. Shmuel says that you go based on the money or the value, maybe.
You go by the money. So since in both of these
they're
cases,
both ona, because the money is unequal. Whereas the Rav Darm Basar Mekach Azlinan, he goes based on the true value of the item. Shave Chamsha Beshita, if it's 5 that you paid 6, so then the Lokeach paid 1 extra Zuz. Bitzel Mekachavya.
So then he paid a fifth more. It was worth 5. And he paid 6, so he paid a fifth more than a sixth.
But shave shiva b'shita michila havya. I guess we're looking at. I don't think I understand. Ushmul amar kiamrin michila bitul meka hechad aleka shus mishneit stadim. Ava hechad ika shus mishneit echad ona hava. Either with the price or with the money that was given.
You compute it both ways.
I guess, do you look at the money for the calculation or do you look at the merchandise value for the calculation? Okay, and that depending on what was paid versus the market value, that could be different. Tana no no arba ketzav esrim v'arba ketzav l'sesh tuz mekach. My love, does avin shave esrim v'esrim v'arba? Does that not refer to, this is like, this is trying to prove Shmua, that you can look at it either way, that does this not refer to something which was sold for 24, and then
but was only worth 20.
Was only worth 20, something like that, right? Shmamina shismaus nami shaninu, that it's a sixth of the actual money that was given. Lo dezavin shave arbim esrim v'arba v'esrim. It's not that the thing was worth 20 and he sold it for 24, but it's that it was
worth 24.
Worth 24, and he sold for 20. Okay, so that doesn't necessarily prove anything. It could just be that it was the price of the actual item itself. So minus ana mocher. Is it really true that the mocher is the?
So then, in that case, then the mocher was the one that was.
Oh, minus ana mocher. That's referring to the person that bought it, that has to go back on it. So he wasn't the one that was cheated. The seller wasn't the one; it was the buyer. The amr of nachmal shenu ella lokeach. The mocher olam choser. The mocher could always go back. Rather, it must be what we said before. Ella dezaben shavi esrim v'arba esrim v'tzmanya. Rather, it said he was 24, and it really was worth 28. Okay, we got to go. We'll pick it up here tomorrow. No, it was worth 24 and you paid 28.
I learned this Gemara